Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Backheeled Show. My name is Joe Lowry, and on today's episode, we are diving into some of the biggest news and notes from around Major League Soccer. We're going to talk refereeing controversies. We're going to talk about a big-time trade between two contenders in the Eastern Conference, new DPs, big results, and so much more. And we'll do it all in less than 10 minutes, because here on the Backheeled Show, we believe that just because soccer games are 90 minutes long doesn't mean that soccer podcasts have to be. So, without any further ado, let's get to it and talk MLS. All right, folks, right off the bat, let's talk about a huge trade that went down over the weekend and was finalized on Monday over in the Eastern Conference. Inter Miami sent starting right back DeAndre Yedlin over to FC Cincinnati for some allocation money. Let's start with Cincinnati, because they're the easier team to assess after this trade. Cincinnati straight up get better with DeAndre Yedlin in the team. Right wing back was an issue for them last season. Santi Arias was not a consistent performer in that spot. Pat Noonan had to go to a couple of other players to deputize there throughout the season. Yedlin will give them stability. He will give them verticality on that right side that creates space for Bupenza and for Lucho Acosta. He makes this team better. This is a clear win-now move for Chris Albright in that front office and for Pat Noonan as manager of last year's Supporter Shield winning team. Now, I don't think DeAndre Yedlin is a match winner at this point in his career. He's never really been a match winner. I'm not even sure he's an elite fullback at this point in his MLS career, but he very clearly is an upgrade over the low bar that Cincy had in that spot last year, and I do think he fits some parts of what this team wants to do. If I'm Cincy, I would have tried to get someone who can bring you a little bit more quality in possession, who can turn those one-goal wins, 14 of them, historic last season for Cincinnati, into two or three-goal wins, and Yedlin doesn't really do that. But he does give them something reliable that you can count on the right side of Noonan's defensive shape. Cincy are better today than they were a week ago. This team is going to start gelling, and when they do, Yedlin will be a part of that. I don't think this is a transformational move for this team, but it clearly makes them better over in the Eastern Conference, and that is a good thing for Cincinnati, despite the fact that Yedlin comes with a pretty high salary charge. Now for Inter Miami, they now have zero starting right backs in their squad, period. They have zero right backs in their squad, period, let alone starting right backs, starting caliber right backs. Julian Gressel is an outside back. I think at his best, he's an outside back. But he's a wingback. He doesn't defend like you want from a fullback in a back four. And that's what Tata Martino has used so far this season. It's been a 4-3-3 for Inter Miami. Nominal, because Messi doesn't do traditional winger stuff. But they've relied on Yedlin to overlap and be the width provider on that right side. Now, who knows what this is going to look like. We are waiting for another domino to fall for this Inter Miami team, for them to go out there and use the international slot that they have, use the salary cap space and roster flexibility that they gained by shipping Yedlin off to another trophy contender in the Eastern Conference, which is an underrated wrinkle in all this, by the way, that Yedlin is going to another team that could beat Inter Miami to multiple trophies this season. That's a fascinating storyline. But we don't know what Miami are going to do, which makes it hard to judge. If they have another huge signing, a player who's willing to take a pay cut to play with Messi and the Barcelona boys, like, they could very clearly upgrade and they could gel with a better player in that spot, because you can upgrade on DeAndre Yedlin sooner rather than later. Or they could rock with a center back at right back or shift to a back three and change the midfield personnel. And maybe you get Redondo into the team by using Gressel as a wing back, and then you go 3-5-2. But you know, there are issues here for Miami. We don't know how they're going to be solved, and it's hard to judge this team and the success or lack thereof of this trade until we see who the replacement is going to be. Fascinating moves over in the Eastern Conference. I want to take things to another Eastern Conference team, Charlotte FC, who are breaking out of, according to reports, their very clear, tried and true, if that's the way you want to label it, transfer strategy of bringing in 30-plus European veterans into this team who aren't really able to produce at a high level anymore. That's been the MO in a lot of ways for the Charlotte team. Not anymore. They are signing Liel Abada, according to reports from Tom Bogert and others online, from Celtic. He is a 22-year-old Israeli winger who looks good on tape when you watch this guy. Granted, it's a little bit hard to gauge film from the top flight in Scotland because it is so lopsided with Celtic and Rangers, and then a big gap between the rest of the league there. But Abada looks as dominant as you would want him to look. He had 10 goals and 5 assists in less than 1,500 minutes for Celtic as they won the title last year. This guy produces, and for a young age, for a young winger, and there aren't a lot of quality wingers in Major League Soccer, this could be a transformational ad, or at least an ad that helps transform this Charlotte FC team when they couple that with a new number 10. Abada will be a young designated player should this signing become official in the coming days. He looks real good. Good with both feet, has good speed, good off-ball movement in the box, can create chances for himself. I really like this signing. It's a nice add from Charlotte FC. Makes me feel better about this team than I already did, and I already felt better about this team under Dean Smith with a simpler approach than I did at basically any point last season. This is real progress for a team that could be a contender to shoot up the Eastern Conference standings in 2024. Now, let's shift on the field for some lovely refereeing discourse in Major League Soccer. This is a big talking point right now. There were multiple missed penalty calls over the weekend. That stuff happens. But the most high-profile thing in the backdrop of the refereeing labor dispute with MLS using replacement referees right now, heading into their third full weekend of action in the regular season, the biggest news and the biggest controversy so far is surrounding Sporting Kansas City's 1-1 draw with the Philadelphia Union that maybe should have been a 1-0 win for the home team because the Union were wrongly awarded a throw-in on the far side late in second-half stoppage time that they used to go in a corner kick that they used to get the equalizer late in the game. It was a blown call from the replacement referee crew. There's no way around it. MLS Ref Stats had a great thread about this controversial incident from Saturday evening over online. Go check that out on Twitter or X. And they had this to say about the throw-in being wrongfully awarded. They said, quote, "So while I can't say the usual refs are perfect, I do think this is considered routine, i.e. relatively not difficult, decision for them," meaning the replacement referees. "This was a blown call that had a real impact on the final score of a game. I wrote this over on the site, backheel.com. Go check out our MLS coverage over there that's coming each and every week. I wrote that this makes the league look small. This whole refereeing discourse, these kinds of moments, should get a bigger spotlight than the moments that usually happen, the mistakes that usually happen from referees that are trained to be at this level. Are those referees perfect? Absolutely not. Are these referees perfect? Clearly not. We've seen with Miami and issues that they had last weekend, blown calls this weekend. Now this incident between SKC and Philadelphia Union where Peter Vermes was rightfully angry about the whole situation, it's not a good look for Major League Soccer and it makes the league look small." Finally, one more note from the weekend before I leave you all. Lorenzo Insigne tracked back for Toronto FC and won the ball over the weekend in their 1-0 win over the New England Revolution. I almost couldn't believe my eyes. John Herdman, it seems like he's getting real buy-in from his players in Toronto. Insigne was more active than I remember him being. Bernadeschi has taken, to an extent, at least in the attack, to playing all the way wide on that right side and then cutting in on his left foot. He's getting something out of the Italians. He's getting something out of Sean Johnson, who looks like a new goalkeeper, or at least he did, against the Revs on Saturday. This is real progress for Toronto, and I could not believe seeing Insigne track back and actually do something in defensive transition for this team. I'm calling that progress, and it is one of the moments of the weekend, and yes, I know he scored a lovely goal in that game to give Toronto 3 points. Still, it is the defensive stuff that popped for me from Insigne. All right, folks, that is it for this episode of the Backheel Show. If you want more MLS or American soccer coverage, go check out backheel.com for plenty more. We've got lots of good stuff over on the site right now. For now, we will talk to you again real soon.